Der Fußball ist zurück in der zweiten Liga und läuft dann in Keeper Freisel rein. Iredale vollendet 4:0.
Beste. Ball kommt in die Mitte und zu Kleindienst! Kleindienst!
Güter. Linke Seite ist blank, vielleicht. Ja, vielleicht! Vielleicht zieht er ihn in Salazar. Oh!
Hello everyone and welcome to another edition of the Zweite Bundesliga podcast. On today's edition, we'll be looking at all of the action from match day 14. This is the final push until the end of the Hinrunde and the winter break. And let's just say that upon its return from the international break, we were treated to an absolutely spectacular display of football. I do apologize if I sound nasally. I'm a bit sick, but we're going to push through this much like the 18 sides pushed through match day 14. And we'll start the action at the Merkurspiel Arena, Fortuna Düsseldorf against Schalke 04. 52,000 in the house for this top game. And really, the score itself is a fascinating one. 5-3, another game with seven or more goals in this season, and who doesn't say that this isn't the best league in the world? They are delusional if they disagree. But the first half is really all Fortuna. They scored those three goals in the space of 14 minutes. A brace from Vincent Vermey, Felix Klaus as well, getting on the score sheet. And not often do we see a manager pull the yank, but Carol Gerrard's, you know, going to the bench just half an hour into the game, yanking Lino Templeman and Thomas Uvuyan. But you could have easily made a case that after halftime, if you had 11 substitutions, you probably could have yanked each and every one. They were better in the second half. Marcin Kaminski gets the goal in 57 minutes, and a bit more intensity. They were a bit more present, a lot more energy. But 8 minutes later, they give up a pretty cheap goal. Great finish, though, from Christos Stolis. It's his seventh goal of the campaign. And at 4-1, you would say very comfortably that Fortuna were going to win from here. And luckily, it was 4-1. Otherwise, you know what jokes were going to come about for Schalke. Incredibly, Schalke scored twice in the space of 2 minutes through Thomas Kallas and Brian Lasma to make it 4-3 with just 15 minutes remaining to set up what was going to be a really thrilling end to the game. And as much as Schalke pushed for an equaliser, they were unable to break the deadlock. Whereas Düsseldorf were able to get a fifth goal through Jona Nemec, his second goal of the campaign. Really good counter-attacking move. Yastrzemski with the good ball to squeeze it past Mürken, who was trying to intervene. And Nemec, too good for Ralf Fiermann. A fifth goal for Fortuna and a much needed win given how the season is going at the moment. It's a crucial win for Fortuna to stay in touch with those who are fighting for promotion. I think they'll be a little bit disappointed with the second half. They were so good in the first phases of the game. Potentially they were a little bit lucky. It looked like Yannick Hengelhardt handled the ball, whether it was intentional or not, in the first half, which could have easily been a penalty. And I was probably a little bit surprised that it wasn't. Understandably, those ones are quite difficult. But from the cameras that I saw live and on the highlights show from Sports Show, it did seem like the ball, the hand was away from the body. And we've seen those given throughout the campaign. But it doesn't really change the fact that Schalke were really poor in the first half and they didn't deserve to win. They were just really, really not up for it. And that lack of energy and it was understanding that there were those who were in the away block who left at halftime because it was just such a miserable display. They're just a team that almost didn't care, didn't want to be there. maybe they just shouldn't wear the black jerseys again. That might be the thing, the modus operandi. They should have just worn the blue jerseys. Maybe there's something in that. But we saw with the scenes that during that substitution, Uvuyan pushing Gerard Asamoah, and as such, subsequently was suspended by the club on Sunday. He trained with the U21s this week. I think his pay is going to be suspended as well. And, you know, it was quite interesting to see what Gerrard said after the game about, you know, no one's bigger than the team. And that's true. And look, players can be, and you know, it's understandable to be upset when you're being subbed out of the game. But there probably were other players who were more worthy of being yanked than Ovuyan. Moore was fine when he came on. It's clear, it's probably clear for Gerrard to get to the winter break, and they really have several areas they need to really fix on. Obviously getting a right-sided, you know, wing-back, full-back type player is an essential. I know Cedric Brunner's injured. It's clearly a deficient area. And I know I've talked about Matriciani quite often, and I don't want to seem like I'm going at him, but having watched quite a lot of him this season, and teams are definitely putting in the work to go at him. And they need some more centre-back help. It's a second time this season they've conceded 5 goals. Both games have been away. And you look at just the state of the defending and the disconnect within the midfield, and it's just, you know, it's really amateurish. It's just been really poor. And I know Marius Müller paved over the cracks of those, and you know, Fairman was, he was okay in this game. I think you'd be upset with the goal, the Vermeij goal, given, you know, he was bodied by Oberdorf, and maybe that could be interference. I'm not sure. But he was very tentative in trying to make a play. But yeah, look, really disappointing for Schalke. And the next couple of games, you know, they got Osnabrück on Friday night, who at the time we're recording this podcast, we don't know who their coach is going to be. There is talk that it'll be Michael Schiele, who was at Braunschweig last season, kept them up. It was going to be Pitt Reimers, I think, from Haasvel's U21 team, which set it up a great Pitt the Elder joke. From The Simpsons, but it doesn't look like he's going to take the role after all. So it does seem like Schiele, as reported, is the favourite to take that position. And they've got Hansa away in the next two games, and they're both vital games. And it can't be understated that they have to start picking up some points. Teams around them on this match day were able to win. Yeah, we'll talk about those teams afterwards, but it's clear that, you know, there's going to be a bit of an upheaval if things can't get turned around before the winter break. They clearly need reinforcement. It's a club that is desperate to change. It needs to change, and we'll see what happens from there. For Fortuna, yeah, they were impressive. First half was great. Defended well. Great to get Vermeij in the mix. He's showcasing some good things, really positive signs. Probably should have had a hat-trick in this game. He had that counter-attacking effort in the second half, late in the second half, when Schalke were pushing for that fourth. But he was dispossessed in the end by Idrizi, who was actually wasn't too bad for Schalke. But yeah, look, they're modus operandi for success. Strong midfield play. A heavy dose of Christoph Solis, who's just really good at whether it's creating, whether it's getting on the score sheet himself. Like, he's been a cracking signing, and I can bet that Norwich, given the way they've been this season, would have loved to have kept him. Well, wish they had kept him now, but hindsight's 2020. So they've got Nuremberg. That is a World Feed game. So if you're watching in the US, ESPN Plus, down under here in Australia, beIN Sports will have you covered for that game. That's at 1 o'clock local time here in Australia. That would be 10:30 central my time, 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So definitely go check that out. Two teams that have been, Dusseldorf in particular, really good to watch. Well worth the time and space. Let's shift to the Ostseestadion, Hansa Rostock against St. Pauli. A game of real significance in that part of the country. These two sides do not like each other in the slightest. A game that required plenty of intricacy and attention. It started well for Rostock. They win a penalty. Eric Smith handling the ball. It was quite funny watching Manolis Saliakas remonstrate, and the replay shows it hits Smith's right arm and then cannons onto his left arm. So, yeah, it was extraordinary. Junior Bramando stepping up and scoring from the spot. But then Saliakas with an absolute beauty. Ball kind of sat up for him. He was about, I don't know, in the old terms, it was 25, maybe 30 yards. I mean, it just sat up for him perfectly, and he just hits it on the volley. It's curling towards the goal, and Marcus Kolka, fair enough, he didn't really make an attempt on it. It looked like it could have gone wide, but what a sensational goal. And yeah, he was just cooking. That was a wonderful goal. This started a spell of play where St. Pauli just were efficient, they were dominant, and you know, a side that can showcase why they are top of the division. Marcel Hartl gets the goal just 3 minutes later. Initially, his effort saved by Kolka, but he picks up the pieces to score, and then Dapo Afalayan getting his first goal of the season, his trickling effort finding the back of the net. It was quite an even game. St. Pauli had a lot more of the ball, but the quality of chances that fell to Rostock were... It was... Yeah, they were in the mix. They did get another penalty for a foul in the box from Carol Metz. That was a clear... It was a clear penalty. He was practically tackling him without the ball in the vicinity. Bramado steps up, and at 2-3, you know, Rostock are pushing. They almost get the third. Bramado almost capped off a Hadi. Schumacher came close, but they couldn't find that goal. It's good for St. Pauli. They stay top heading into that Hamburg derby. Rostock precariously in 15th place, and it wasn't really the match day to lose given the circumstances around them. And it's kind of an interesting phase that we're in with Hansa, and the heat must be on Alia Schwarz. Like, they're playing all right. That's the thing. It's just they lose the big moments, or they have phases where the dominance from the opposition turns into 2-3 goals. And this was the case here. Now St. Pauli are just playing on another universe at the moment. 30 points so far this season from 14 matches. And look, we know how hard they are to beat defensively. They are just infinitely better than anyone. It's very rare you see St. Pauli concede double goals, much they have. They've been, yeah, it's been amazing. But it's Rostock are a difficult one because they played four centre-backs in their back four, which was really interesting. But they struggled. That St. Pauli midfield, when they get into transition, your Irvines, your Hartles, they just didn't have an answer. And even when they brought Metcalf on, Metcalf looked pretty dangerous. But it's hard. Like, it's kind of a hard game to judge for Hansa, because they did have a lot of scoring opportunities, and the vast majority of them were peppered around the 6-yard box. It's not as if they weren't in bad situations. Far from it. They just couldn't finish off their good work in open play. And against the good teams, heck, even against the great teams, if you don't score, they will. And you look at what they were able to do in this game, St. Pauli, and just controlled the tempo. You know, it did help Hansa in a way, because they were able to get shots on goal. But they just were so wasteful. And we've spoken about their inability to take the big chances. From the 14 shots on goal, according to FOTMAP, 7 of those big chances, and it's included the penalties as 2 big chances, but they missed 5 of them. And for a team that's languishing near the bottom 3 with the relegation playoff spot just 3 points behind them, yeah, that's tough. That's a really tough pill to swallow. And they go to Karlsruhe, and we'll talk about Karlsruhe in Group 3, and then we've spoken about Schalke. You know, there's 2 big games for Hansa moving forward. And you could use the cliches of they need to build momentum, and, you know, clean sheets are usually a good start of building sort of that defensive structure. But they just can't score goals. It was the same problem last season. They scored 32 times from 34 games, and just over the course of the season they can't score goals. In this game, though, they had their chances. And two probably seems like a minuscule return for them. St. Pauli, we know about them. Hamburg Derby on Friday night. Also, the other World Feed game. Check it out on ESPN+. It should be on the Sky YouTube channel in the UK. beIN Sports, of course, is your hookup for that game. And that's going to be an unbelievable game. We've got someone coming on next week to chat about that. A familiar face to the podcast for this season. And it should be fun to talk about that. But look, it was the same Pete. It was the same individuals leading St. Pauli. It was Marcel Hartl in particular. It was Jack, you know, it was Eliassard was really good without a goal. Afalayan was good. And this is the beauty of this team, is they had a patch where Eggestein was their main goal getter, but they've got other players who can step up. Afalayan finally getting on the score sheet. Saliakas with a wonderful goal. Hartl with a goal. This is what this team does. They just find a way. They are built to go far this year. And it will take, from, you know, our 14-game sample size, it will take something incredible for them to not gain promotion. But from what I've seen so far this season, everything is pointing towards promotion for St. Pauli. Let's talk about Hamburg. They welcomed Eintracht Braunschweig on Friday night to the Volkspark Stadion. Just under 56,000. Fantastic crowd to see a pretty strange game, truth be told. It wasn't exactly the one-way traffic game you would expect. Hamburg did dominate the first 60 minutes of the game. Goals from Guillermo Ramos, with a wonderful set piece from Benish to Dompe to Ramos. Great header. And then immediately after the kickoff, scoring the second goal through Emmanuel Frey. His first goal for Hamburg against his former club of all teams. But they didn't do a lot with it. They had a lot of shots from distance. Not a lot of them were high quality. And the chances they did get in the box, they were quite wasteful. And Braunschweig were much better in the second half. And once they got the goal from Fabio Kaufmann on 62 minutes, there was something about this Braunschweig team that we definitely didn't see under Jens Hartl, because you just didn't feel under Hartl that they were going to strike again. Now, they did strike again, albeit Kaufmann was marginally offside, but offside he was. But they kept pressing, and it was really impressive. Schoenings obviously had time to work with the group over the international break. Really liked that he played Helgason, though he was really good, playing in that sort of wider spaces, overlapping with Doncor. And you had Kaufmann and Rittmuller on the right side. Really impressive. And they had some bit of unlucky. Dekali had that massive head clash with RTH at the end of the first half, and we hope Dekali's okay, because that was quite a heavy contact with his goalkeeper. And then they lost Gomez as well late on. But there's something to build on. There are some positives for Braunschweig. Despite the defeat, they were competitive in this game. They were much better in the second half. They really were very strong transition-wise, getting in, you know, into those great spaces. It did feel like they took advantage of a Hamburg midfield that wasn't at its best in this game. You would have liked to have seen them to go after Ramos and Ambrosius in defense. Ambrosius in for Hansi Kadunic, who was out. And Ambrosius was good. And probably it'll be interesting to see what they like do defensively. But definitely they've had sort of the bounce under Schoening in a way. They seem a bit more confident. There's more willingness to get forward. Just a question of whether what they're doing currently is sustainable. Because we saw it last season with Arminia Bielefeld, where it looked good early, but then it sort of fell away. But this I think is a bit more of a different challenge. It's not as strong of a squad comparative to Bielefeld, and there's not as much pressure for Schoening. But look, they're improving. They certainly gave Hamburg a fright. There was a scene in the first half where Hamburg thought they had a penalty. And it would, I think it would have been a penalty in the end when Yatta went down from a challenge from Doncor. But Yatta was offside. So, yeah. Look, ahead, Braunschweig, Greuther Fürth at home, Fürth are starting to hit some form. And then Wien Wiesbaden away on Friday night. Now, that will be a pretty challenging game, a very strong defensive team. And it will be a good test for Braunschweig to see where they're at. For Hamburg, we've spoken about the St. Pauli game. Then they've got Paderborn, which that should be a winnable game for them, given what has happened so far this season. Let's take our first break. And on the other side, we'll discuss our Group 2 games, starting at the Heinz von Heiden Arena, when Hanover hosted Hertha. Both Hanover and Hertha were hoping to get back to winning ways when they returned from the international break. They did battle in Hanover in front of 45,100. Really a game of two halves in the end in terms of the scoring output, but for mine it did feel like one team in particular was better than the other. The goals came from one end, surprisingly, from the TV side, the left of screen, or where the away fans would typically be. Where all four goals came from. It started with Florian Niederlechner. There's something about Fabian Riese this season who his continued growth has been fantastic to watch. And, you know, Hertha really have figured out that he is the guy that is going to drive everything offensively. Great cross and a good finish from Niederlechner, his second goal in consecutive games. And it's really good to see that he's starting to become a bit more prevalent for that Hertha outfit. They would get a goal on the stroke of halftime as well. Riese again driving the ball into the box. Fantastic ball across, and then Pascal Clemens with the finish 2-0 at the break. And it didn't really feel like a fair reflection of the game. Hanover had a goal disallowed for offside through Derek Kuhn, and it was an even game, and 2-0 seemed to flatter the visitors more than anything. After the break, Hanover were really up for the fight, and they did get their goal on 67 minutes. Phil Niemann, who started the possession from the halfway line virtually unchallenged from Hertha, he went through about four different players, and then he puts the ball across to Håvard Nilsson, and Nilsson gets his fifth goal of the season. Just unbelievably poor defending from Hertha. Someone lay a tackle. That's all. It just was far too easy and would make any manager upset of the lack of intensity defensively to stop that positional play. I'm sure Pau Dardo would have been even more upset with the second goal. Marcel Halstenberg's fantastic long ball, piercing long ball to a through runner for Andreas Vogelsamma, draped with Hertha players, he uses his strengths, and then a very good finish to beat Tjaak Ernst to make it 2-2. Stefan Leiter was very happy on the touchline. But neither team could find the winning goal. Both teams had their chances late, but it did seem Hanover were most likely to get the goal, but they were unable to do so. What does this mean for both sides? Well, for Hanover, they're unbeaten in their last three games. They sit seventh. But it's a missed opportunity given the results from the teams who ended up winning on the weekend. There was the potential that they could be sitting very pretty in third place. But alas, fourth place actually. Alas, it's a disappointment for them. Hertha really a tale of the two halves. They were super efficient in the first half, but the second half they were quite lackluster. And it showed the pressure all fell on the defence, and the defence was unable to handle the likes of Håvard Nilsson and substitute Andreas Vogelsamma. I think I still don't want to buy in on Hanover. I've said it for weeks and I'm going to continue it. But this is a game they wouldn't have got a point out of last year. No way. They would have 2-0 would have been too far for this particular squad, this team in Hanover, to overcome. But they showed really good fighting quality. They didn't stray away from what wasn't working. There was no panic with the second half of football, and it was really telling. it was really telling to see Hannover really press the issue when push came to shove. They did a lot of good things. Really, really loving this Marcel Halstenberg led defense. It's not always perfect, but what they do in the build up and transitioning to the forward third, it's good. It's much more fluid than it was last season. They have a really strong mix in midfield with Leipold and Fabian Kunze. We did see some Max Christiansen come in the second half as well. But look, their next month is really important for them, not just for a table positioning and whatnot, but to really firm themselves as a true believer, as someone who could be a promotion candidate. It's very tight. If you look at the table as it sits at the moment, you know, if you exclude St. Pauli, who are 3 points clear of Hamburg, but from Hamburg down to Hannover is 4 points, which is second to seventh. What has been a pretty open season, they have the chance. They have the option. But we saw what they did last season, and that's why it's really difficult to say, yeah, they're legitimate, because we've got the reference from last season where they were winless in their first 8 games in the new year. So, who knows? What we can say, though, is that, they didn't have Toikert, but they still, eventually they found options. I mean, Trezaldi wasn't at his best. But, you know, Vogelsammer was great impact. Got the goal late and, you know, positive. They got Paderborn away, which that's going to be a really interesting game, probably more so for Paderborn. And then Karlsruhe at home as their next two. And you get to see what kind of team Hannover really are against sides that are in the bottom half, are struggling this season compared to what they were doing last time around. So now we'll get to see, like, against opponents they should beat, whether they are the real deal. For Hertha, I think the clear thing is they were, the second half, they just lacked the quality, the polish to make the most of their chances in the final third. I didn't feel they were as strong as they've been. They're definitely stronger at home. I think that's the feeling. They're a better team at the Olympiastadion. But they were definitely second best in this game. And I think, the reset at home against Elversberg, which firms up to be an unbelievably interesting game, especially given what Elversberg are doing. And then Kaiserslautern at the Fritz Walter Stadion, which, again, a team that could beat anyone on any given day, but at the moment it's having a bit of a tougher time than it did last time around. Speaking of Elversberg, let's talk about them. They welcomed Paderborn to the Kaiserlinde, and despite the slower start, Sebastian Klaas giving Paderborn the lead on 22 minutes, Elversberg just continue to impress. What an impressive outfit Horst Steffen has produced. 4-1 the final score, a brace from Lucas Schnellbacher either side of the half. Paul Stock, who continues to be a revelation, and Maurice Neubauer getting on the score sheet on the hour mark. And look, they might not have had the best quality shots, as the XG, both teams really struggled to make high quality opportunities. 0.89 for Elversberg, 0.92 for Paderborn. But it's just what Elversberg does with their chances. You look at all 4 goal situations. The first one is a classy finish from Schnellbacher. The second one, Paderborn, who like to play that really high aggressive line in possession, but a quick transition play, and Schnellbacher gets a one-on-one with a goalkeeper, a deflection off the Stock goal, and then Neubauer, you know, the initial save from Hoot off Rockhelt's shot, and then Neubauer, you know, torpedoes in with a header to make it 4. But I think that we spoke about it early in the season when they weren't picking up results. The elements were there of a team that could succeed and avoid relegation from the Zweite Bundesliga. And I think it's more than justified now. Their only loss in the last five was against St. Pauli. It's been incredible. Four wins in the last five, and they are equal best in terms of form, with Wien Wiesbaden and Greuther Fürth taking 12 points from a possible 15. But it's their players who just... There's a unity with the side. You look at them offensively. Schnellbacher was superb in this game. Stock was great in this game. Shahin in midfield, fantastic. The back four, after they conceded the goal, were superb. And we've talked about Frederik Jaechel. Seekinger has really held down the fort and kept Kevin Conrad out of this team as a starter. But they're just a well-balanced team, and it's clear that if one player is unavailable, they've got that next man up mentality, next player up mentality. And it's mightily impressive. They're doing some great things. They're great to watch. I implore you, if they get some World Feed games, absolutely tune in, because they're well worth watch. They play entertaining football. They're dynamic. They've got some really interesting players who have never seen this level. And they've taken it to it like a duck to water. It's been mightily impressive. They've got Hertha next, as we mentioned, then Nürnberg at home. Paderborn, on the other hand, you know, it was a busy week for them. They mutually agreed a termination of contract with Max Kruse, who, with injury and not really being a fit for their team, the 35-year-old probably ends up in the MLS maybe, or somewhere else. But it's hard to see him in the Zweite Bundesliga at this moment. There's not really a fit for him, and who he could really help out. It's just, yeah. But yeah, it's really hard with Paderborn. They're just, nothing's clicking. They're just not playing at the same competitive level as they were last year. And look, they were second best in this game. They may have had the better XG, more possession. They didn't really do a whole lot with it. It just felt like a team that maybe was running out of ideas. But a lot had to be said with how good Elversberg were in this game. Once they got on top, they didn't relent. And you know, I'm sure they'll probably get to start Florent Muslia, who was on international duty and played a small cameo role in this game. They'll get to see him back. But yeah, it's really difficult to see Paderborn at the moment. They're just really struggling. Three defeats in their last four games. Defensively, it's not it's become an issue. Like they're in the mid pack in terms of goals scored, in that sort of lower mid pack, on 22. But just yeah, they lose the situations. I always defend goalkeepers as someone who played the position, so no bias there. Don't feel like they're getting the same sort of production they got from Yannick Hoot last season. But yeah, we'll see what they do. Hanover next week at home, and then away day against Hamburg, proving that the next couple of games will be quite tough for Lukas Kwasniok's side. And lastly, to Osnabrück we go. VfL hosting Magdeburg at the Bremer Brücke on Saturday afternoon. The outcry from the international break was Tobias Schweinsteiger was given the axe after that 3-2 defeat to Eintracht Braunschweig, and not a particularly positive response from the fans, given that in the year that he'd been there, he took Osnabrück from a fledgling mid-table Drittliga side to promotion. And whilst it has been a difficult season for Delilah Weiss, it was almost felt in many ways that he'd warranted an opportunity at least until the winter break. Without announcing a coach to replace Schweinsteiger during the international break, which don't understand why you would do that. Martin Heck was given the reins as the interim head coach for this game. And maybe after listening to this or editing this podcast, we'll know whom will be Osnabrück's new head coach. We teased it at the start of the program. The the rumor is that Michael Schiele is favorite to take the role. But alas, one will have to wait and see. Both these teams in dire form. Magdeburg, who were irresistible to start the season, had a very cold patch of form. They were desperate to win this game. And their desperation paid off. A 2-0 victory in the end. Goals from Barış Atik, who's only scored his second goal of the campaign, and Lucas Schüle, who had been, much like the team's form, he'd been in quite a dip, but he gets his first goal since September. It's Magdeburg's first clean sheet in 10 matches. And it is a vital 3 points for Christian Tietz's side. And look, I don't think anyone could really argue the result. Magdeburg were just so much better in terms of controlling the game. And whilst Osnabrück had some passages, some phases of the game where they took some opportunities, they were second best ultimately. And Erik Engelhardt played pretty much a lone hand up top. Didn't really have much support from his wider players, whether it be Conte or Mark Reedus, and even the subs themselves, whether it was Wolf, Verhoek, Reed, really didn't influence enough to help turn the tide for Osnabrück. But yeah, there's not really a whole lot to talk about with Osnabrück. We don't know what their team's going to look like. We don't know what their coach is going to be, and it's all kind of up in the air. Whereas for Magdeburg, like, it was such a massive win for them. And it's not as if they haven't been playing poor. Like, they haven't been bad. It's just those moments we talk about, the situations that have been favouring the opposition when the game isn't on the line and there's a chance for either team to take it. Magdeburg hasn't been doing that. In this case, they did. Two very good goals were enough to see Magdeburg get up the table. They move up to 13th, and they stay 3 points clear of Schalke, who've got that relegation playoff spot. But the fortunate thing for all the teams in that mix is that Schalke's goal difference is negative 10. So, yeah, only points will be the differential at the moment in that campaign. But yeah, Magdeburg were back to some of their better football. Midfield was much better. They kept the clean sheet, which is something they haven't done for a lot of the time this season. St. Pauli was the last time they kept a clean sheet. But yeah, we'll see with them. I think they're an interesting proposition. Kaiserslautern, then Greuther Fürth are the next two games. We've mentioned Osnabrück have got Schalke, and then they've got St. Pauli. So whomever is their new head coach, a baptism of fire they will receive. Let's take our final break, and on the other side, we'll discuss our final games of Match Day 14, starting at the Wildpark, when Karlsruhe hosts Nürnberg. Group 3 starts in Karlsruhe when KC welcome Nürnberg to the Wildpark Stadion on Sunday. A massive game for both sides, in particular Karlsruhe, who had been in a rotten luck of form of late. But boy, did they get off to the fastest start when Paul Nebel scored just 10 seconds into the first half. It is the quickest goal this season we've seen from any team so far. Karlsruhe continued to press and press and press, but they couldn't find a goal, and the scores was 1-0 at halftime. It was really a challenge for Nürnberg. A lot of shots from outside the box. But the one time they actually got inside the box and had an effort, they found their goal. When Fabian Schleusner's effort cannoned off the post, Nürnberg were able to hit on the counter, and a wonderful bit of play found Can Özun, who got his sixth goal of the season, on 60 minutes. But Schleusner would atone for his miss in that passage of play 10 minutes before, when he got on the score sheet just 10 minutes later to give Karlsruhe a 2-1 lead. It all went to pie for Nürnberg in stop towards the end of the game. Substitute Buru Zivzivatse scoring twice in the space of 5 minutes, once on 89, and then again in the fourth minute of stoppage time to see Karlsruhe score a resounding victory over Der Klopp, and an important one given the results over the weekend. What a fascinating game this was. And initial reflection was that 4-1 seemed a bit harsh on Nürnberg, defensively they were under a lot of pressure, and I think upon a second look, a very fair result in the end. Karlsruhe were just so much better. They were up for the battle. They should have scored more than four. Lars Stindl had that one where he missed inside the six over the crossbar. Christian Matania was busy often, and the defence seemed a bit disorganised at times for Nürnberg. It was such a big win for them, and given who they've got over the next couple of weeks, whether it be it Hansa Rostock on Sunday or Hanover Friday night, which that seems like a pretty rubbish travel, a bit of a journey for a Friday night game. This was a team we expected so much more from, but they've shown progress. They mixed it up at the defensive half. They started Marcel Beifuß alongside Marcel Franke, and it was a lot more stable defensively. It's been the same mix in midfield for majority of the season, and Igor Matanovic and Fabian Schleusner are starting to work quite well together. I know Matanovic didn't score, but Schleusner seems to feed a lot better with Matanovic. And then Zizhevadze, just the ultimate joker coming on, he just took the game on and was much like he did against Hamburg, where he was a late substitute to score that equalising goal early in the season. But it's hard to really assess because, you know, they've been so ordinary defensively. And Nürnberg are a vastly improved side in the final third. That they are. But they had no chance in this game. They really just didn't have the same impetus, the same fight that we've seen throughout the season. And, you know, all credit to Christian Eichner's side. And, you know, I love the shots they show of Eichner on the sideline. He's just stern face. There's not really much emotion. When they scored within the opening 15 seconds of the game, just nothing, giving us nothing. But, yeah, a vital win for them. And their next two games are quite massive as they try and pull themselves away from the bottom three. Nürnberg have shown that they've been good at responding from adversity. And whilst they didn't get anything out of this game, I really look forward to their game against Fortuna Düsseldorf, World Feed game. We've spoken about it before, because it's a really good test for them. They're going to play a team that has shown that they can score heavy, but are vulnerable defensively. And what they do, what they can do, in response to this will be interesting. Defensively, look, those two goals they conceded in stoppage time, they were going for it. And it wasn't, they weren't great efforts. I'm not gonna beat them down for this. I think given where they've come from this season, from last season, sorry. Yeah, they've shown they've shown growth. It's just that just overall team wise, not a great performance. But we want to, again, the response is key. They've got Fortuna and then they've got Elversberg away a week later, which will be a really interesting game for them. So yeah, not too worried about them. A team that we might be a little bit worried about is Kaiserslautern. They welcomed Kiel to the Fritz Walter Stadion on Sunday. We don't do Monday games anymore, and good for that. 3-0 defeat for Kaiserslautern. It's their fourth defeat in five games. So if we're looking at form table-wise, they're equal worse with Osnabrück in that spell. Two goals, Benedikt Pickler, and a single for Fiete Arp. The first goal, horrible. Horrible turnover from Philip Clement. I know what he's trying to do, which is play the ball back. But he didn't see who he was playing the ball back to. Pickler just picks the pocket, and then a delicate little chippy boy over Julian Krull and into the back of the net. Second goal, set piece meltdown, feet up, leaks out the back, and he cannons the ball to the ground off the crossbar and in. That was a 2-0 lead at the break, and then Pickler with a wonderful bit of individual brilliance to just sort of maraud his way through the defence, and then eventually drawing Krull out to get the goal. But they seem the real deal now, Kiel. I don't know, but I they're to me they're in a similar camp to Hanover, where like it's exciting to watch them. They've got so many different players they can plug in and play. Defensively, they're a bit iffy. They don't keep clean sheets often. I think that's been one of their biggest issues. It's their first clean sheet in 7 games. But one thing that they do very well is they play well away from home. Third best away record in the division heading into the game. And 3 wins out of the last 5. They're a top five, six scoring team with 26 goals this season. But they are winning unlike last season where they scored 60 odd goals and they gave up 60 and it was all a bit messy. Yeah, there's real continuity in the way they're playing. And I love the fact that they can just chuck in a new player and just run with it. And I think the thing that Rapp's done fantastically well over the course is this flexible playing style and getting players to play different positions, making them more tactically dynamic. But this fluid style of football, it almost feels positional. So, I mean, like the wide players, you know where they're going to be. Tom Raute is always going to be on the left-hand side. Always. When they're in attack, you may see a centre-back. Usually it's Timo Becker will get forward and join the attack. I think with all the criticism that they warranted from last season, where there was really not a lot of tactical identity, they Rapp's done a pretty good job in figuring out what is going to work for this team. Now, obviously, if they can maintain this towards the end of the Hinrunde and then into next season, then we get to have a serious conversation about promotion. But, they're definitely showcasing that the maturity and they've learnt from last season. They just need to be a little bit more stable defensively. But going forward, they are just awesome to watch. They got Wiesbaden and Fortuna Düsseldorf next as their two next games. But yeah, we love to see them. They're really good at being efficient. They're really dangerous at set pieces. And they always get strong scoring chances. For Lauten, it's definitely a case of like they really miss Ragnar Ake. But also in the same way of I don't think anyone knows what their best team is at the moment. And defensively it's been a struggle. They're getting beaten in midfield battles quite often. They don't get the ball into the good areas nearly enough as they had, but I think like the great sort of indicators, if you just look at the numbers from the game, both teams had 12 shots on goal. You had 3 shots on target for Kaiserslautern, 5 for Kiel. Kiel had 3 big chances. They scored all of them to the 1 of Kaiserslautern. And it's just that efficiency that Kaiserslautern lacked, that cutting edge, that sort of... It's really difficult. They're just that polish, the lack of polish, that was the word I was looking for. They don't have it. And they're desperate for Ake to return. The next 2 games are quite big for them. Magdeburg away, and Magdeburg getting that confidence-building win. And then Hertha, who, are a bit up and down, but they've got the quality to put your weaker players under pressure. We did see Elmami Traore make his debut for Kaiserslautern at halftime. He joined as a free agent, but he'd been with Eintracht Frankfurt the year they won the Europa League. So maybe he helps defensively make them a bit more stable. But the slump is a bit worrying for them, I would have to say. Lastly, we head to Greuther Fürth hosting Wien Wiesbaden at the Sportpark Ronhof Thomas Sommer. 2-0 your final for the Kleeblatt, and they are in great form. 4 wins on the Bouncy Boy. And as we've mentioned earlier in the program, along with Elversberg and Wiesbaden, best form teams in the division. Fürth breaking Wiesbaden's 4-game winning run. And the team with the second best defensive record couldn't stop Armindo Sieb and Branimir Goethe finding the score sheet. Look, this game could have easily been different. It could have been 1-1. Even Bataillon had another glorious opportunity to score from a header. He failed and he missed wide in the first half. But yeah, look, Wiesbaden were okay in this game. One thing that they do really well, and it gets highlighted quite a lot in packages, is when they win the ball back, they're really good at getting out into transition. We've spoken it with Gorpel and Kartic on the wide areas, using their pace, you know, getting decent scoring opportunities. You know, they had 14 shots in this game, but the quality of chances were a bit of a mixed bag. I think their numbers got skewed a bit. The 6 shots they had from outside the box, there were some real wild efforts on goal. But Fürth were really good. I was impressed. And 2-0 probably flatters them a little bit in the sense that they should have scored more. They were a little bit inefficient in that final third. But they did take their chances when they came. You know, the really good assist from Wagner to Sieb, and then off the set piece for the second goal. You know, Green lays it off to Hugota, and 2-0 is the magic number. But wonder if they can go on with it, because they've had a bit of a weird season. They had that big 5-0 win over Paderborn. Then for a good period of time, they were just not there. They were not there at all. And it seemed as if that 5-0 win against 10 men was a bit fluky. But they've warranted the results. Their last 4 games in particular, they've been the better side in all 4 of them. And, you know, they're sort of in that maybe, I'm not too sure, but defensively, impressive. Third best defensive record this season. And I think the interesting thing is, you know, one of the positions we talked about pre-season was what they're going to do at left wing back. We've seen Çalhanoğlu, we've seen Gieselman, but he's injured. But Haddadi's been really impressive playing that role, and he's really controlled it. He gets forward, and because we've seen him play as a centre back in a lot of the season, but when he gets forward, good things happen. He's really good at delivering a ball into the box, and he's very good at being a two-way runner, and they've found a solution on that left-hand side. And you love to see. It's really impressive, and they're getting good goalkeeping. I know Ubig has had some pretty shaky moments this season, and that's understandable, given he's still 19. But he was good in this game, made the saves he needed to make, and building confidence. You can feel the confidence is building in him, and I still believe in him. As a young kid, he's done good things. I'm impressed with him. I just want him to play well, man. That's it. So, yeah, we'll see what happens from here. For Fürth, they got Braunschweig, and then they've got Magdeburg, Wiesbaden, at Kiel, and then they also play Braunschweig on Friday night. That will do us for this week. It's a little bit longer than last time, but thank you for joining us. We'll be back next week to discuss all of the action from match day 15, including that incredibly interesting and tantalizing Hamburg derby. We look forward to bringing it to you. We hope you have a fantastic weekend of Zweite Bundesliga football, and we'll see you next time once the ball gets rolling and the Zweite Bundesliga returns.